Let's begin our worship with a call to worship, singing, "Let's Just Praise the Lord." Stand together. Responsive reading this morning called Sing His Praise. So I'm going to begin and then you are going to enter in. I think the words will be correctly on the screen today. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will be glad and rejoice in you.
I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
You are my God.
And I will praise you.
You are my God.
And I will exalt you.
I have trusted in your mercy.
My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. We sing together a hymn, and that hymn is "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues." So here's this song.
Let's all pray together. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and mercy. Thank you that we can come to you in prayer, offering our praise and worship. And I pray, dear Lord, as we have sung, as we worshiped you today, that we will honor you in our praise and worship today. I pray for Pastor Steve as he comes and brings a message. I pray that it would speak to all of our hearts, that we would see the need within our lives to walk closer to you. And I pray for all those who are here today, each and every family. I pray you'd watch over us and protect us as we have come to worship today. Be with those who are at home. I pray for all the churches everywhere, all those who are having drive-in church, those who are meeting together. I pray that you'd be with us, each and every one today, and keep us safe from this virus that has infected our world today. I do pray for people in the world, the whole world today, who are suffering from this virus. I pray that in your will, way, and time, that you would touch them and restore their health. And I do pray, dear God, that you would take this from the world as we know it today. I pray, dear Lord, for all those that are in hospitals and rest homes, those who are anxious for the day and those who hurt. I pray for each need. I pray for the lost and unconcerned. I pray you'd touch their hearts. Help them to see the need of Jesus in their lives. Be with our children today as all over this country and the world as they prepare for a new school year. I pray that those who are the leaders of our school system would use great choices in how that they are to educate and keep our children safe. And I pray for all our college kids. I pray that you'd be with them as they either return or do school from home. I pray that you would be in our hearts and lives and give us direction for each and every day, that as we walk in the world today, that we might allow your light to shine through us, that it might draw someone out of darkness, that they might know you in a free pardon of sin. Dear Lord, I pray you'd be in our presence today, just as we sing praises and worship you. And I pray that it might be so because I ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
We sang together one of Fanny Crosby's songs, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Sang together. Listen to our piano solo.
Thank you. Would you worship with us today as we sing a great old hymn, probably written somewhere close to the end of the 1800s or so, entitled One Day. One Day. Oh, yes, I need a book. I need my words. This fits well with the message today, so worship with us.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwell among men, my example is He. He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. Calvary's mountain, one day they nailed Him to die on the tree, suffering angels despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. One day they left Him alone in the garden, one day He rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er His tomb to keep vigil, hope of the hopeless, my Savior is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose, over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever. And one day He's coming, oh glorious day.
Amen.
We did want to let everybody know that Hannah did make it home safely Wednesday night. We got home about midnight with her. And so thank you for all of the prayers while she's been gone for these 2 years. We'll have her home for probably 5.5 months or so. And so you'll be hearing more about that. She is in quarantine for 14 days. And so she's trying to be very mindful of that, to be respectful of others. So you won't see her for a couple of weeks, but she will be here.
Glad she's here, but she's very conscientious about others. She's always concerned about others. She gets that from her mom, I guess. Hopefully from her daddy too, but we're glad she's home. She's even keeping her distance from us somewhat. So anyway, so she is feeling that she needs to observe that quarantine. So she is doing that, and she wanted me to and us to give you word that she missed you, and she's sorry she couldn't be here this morning, but she is at home, so praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles and turn to two passages this morning, back to Matthew 28, also back to 1 Peter 2. So just go to Matthew 28, we're going to read verse 20, and also 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Again, stand with your Bibles open for the reading of God's holy word this morning. The words will be on your screen as well. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, and then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, Father, we thank you once again for all that has transpired here this morning. We thank you for all that you do. And we pray that even now you would speak through me, use me as a vessel fit and meet for the Master's use. And I pray that you would plow the ground of the hearts that are here today and plant your seed so that great things could happen in our lives, the things that you do, Lord, the things that count. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 20, again says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 again, Peter says this, by divine inspiration, but ye are a chosen generation, the same crowd that Jesus spoke to, Peter is now speaking to, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you or ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The message today is entitled, The Great Communication. You may be seated. The Great Communication. Now, on July the 5th, a couple of weeks ago, I preached a message to you entitled, A Nation in a Nation. There in 1 Peter chapter 2, we find the apostle speaking in those first 12 verses of chapter 2 to us about who we are, who the people of God are. He there makes some comparisons, and he draws some contrasts. And then he also talks about the conduct of those who call themselves the body of Christ, those who are Christians. We know that we focused on verse 9, the verse that I just read to you from 1 Peter 2. And we know that in that verse, the apostle calls the people of God, the body of Christ, the church, the ecclesia, he calls them the same thing that God in Exodus, in Deuteronomy, and other places called the people of God, Israel. He called them, he calls us, as he called Israel, a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. We talked about all those things. And then, of course, we emphasize the fact that as we applied this to us today, that we are a nation within a nation. We're a nation in the midst of a nation, a holy nation in the midst of this nation, the United States of America, as the church here, as is the case in every country where the church is, where that holy nation is. We are the nation within the nation that we are in. And then on July the 12th, last Sunday, I preached a message entitled All, and of course was based upon the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 16 through 20. And we talked about our commission as a nation in a nation. Rachel Scherer came and she spoke to us and shared about the Ethnos 360 ministry, which was called at one time the New Tribes Missions. And I followed what she said up with this particular message. We talked about all power being given to us, or to Jesus actually, and as he gives us power through the Holy Spirit, we are to go to all nations, and we are to teach all things commanded, that is the scripture, and that he is always with us. So let's continue this morning in regard to all that we discussed for the last couple of weeks, and put it all together to make a third message, okay? Let's go back to this idea and this concept of this great commission that we find here in Matthew 28 and in other places. The word commission actually means to represent our Lord with the gospel in and beyond our nation. In our nation, of course, and even beyond our nation. The marching orders are given by the captain of the host to the army of the Lord. And actually, this endeavor started at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and believers were filled with his presence and his power, and the church was birthed. So it started on Pentecost or at Pentecost, and it continues today because, as I said last week and even week before, we are still on mission, and missions are us. So as a chosen generation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation and a peculiar people, we are missionaries. So we've been commissioned by the one I would call the Great Commissioner. He indeed is that. Now, the other Gospels, that is Mark, Luke, and John, as well as Acts chapter 1, actually contain this commission as well. In those five passages, we find some semblance of the Great Commission. Of course, stated differently, but still a semblance of the Great Commission. So, we, as we're commissioned by Christ, we represent Christ in and beyond our nation. That's what we do as those who have been commissioned by Christ. Now, we've all heard of the United Nations, have we not? Better known as the UN. Well, I know many of us have different opinions about that organization, but wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if this concept of the UN, the United Nations, actually and mainly referred to the nations of the world united by the gospel, whereby the holy nation was predominant in all those nations? Let me explain that a little simpler. Wouldn't it be great if the United Nations was just the nations of this world that were predominantly Christian or Christianized? Wouldn't it be great if in America, people by the millions began to get saved? And wouldn't it be great if this country became a real Christian country, whereby most of the people were truly born-again children of God? And wouldn't it be great if in other countries that was the case? And wouldn't it be great if we could get together and unite over the gospel? That would be just a utopia-type situation here on this earth, and may we pray for that to take place. May we work towards that to take place. But wouldn't it be great if the United Nations was known as those nations where Christ is Lord, so that these nations, such as the United States of America, which was founded in the right way, but has come a long way from that because of sin, but wouldn't it be tremendous if we here in America became the Christian nation that we were supposed to be, so that this nation in and of itself could be called a holy nation? That's the desired end result, that everybody in this nation would become a child of God, and everybody in every nation would be. That's what we're all about. We're about that great commission. So we find this commission in these five passages, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and in the book of Acts. Jesus, there, as we put all of that together, in essence said this. He said, in essence, I'm giving you two promises as I go, the Spirit and the return.
I'm giving you my Holy Spirit, and I'm giving, or the Holy Spirit, and I'm giving you a promise that I will come to rescue you one day. So until then, go everywhere and spread the gospel and teach the word of God. This is the Great Commission in a condensed form, a summary of this biblical mandate that comes from the lips of our Savior as he speaks to a nation in a nation, and as we are ambassadors, as the Apostle Paul puts it, to all of those nations. You see, this nation in a nation concept really has gripped me and grasped my heart as of late. And I just can't turn it loose, one of those things. And I feel like I just should continue to bring that before you, because that is who we are, a nation in a nation with, number one, a great commission. Now, let me just give you some scripture. If you want to write this down, that's great. But let me just tell you where these references are found. Of course, that is the one thing, the Great Commission. We'll get into a little bit more in just a moment. But in Matthew 28, of course, 16 through 20, Mark 16, 14 through 18, Luke 24, 36 through 51, John 20, 19 through 23, Acts 1, 8 through 11, and then, of course, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Let me say that one more time. All right, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Mark 16, 14 through 18. And there's a place on the back of your bulletin to write this. Luke 24, 36 through 51. John 20, 19 through 23. Acts 1, 8 through 11. And then 1 Peter 2, 1 through 12. And if you missed that, I wrote it here on the back of this bulletin. I'm going to put it here. And if you need that, you can get it after church today and write that down. But I just want to challenge you to study all of that for yourself. Read back over all of those passages, which, again, contain some semblance of the Great Commission and other things as well. And we'll talk about that. But they do contain that. And of course, as we combine that with 1 Peter, we know that that commission was given to a nation in a nation, to those people that are called by God to be those chosen people, that chosen generation, that holy nation, and all those things that Peter says that we are, the people of God are. So read that today sometime or during the course of this week, and just immerse your mind in this and let the Holy Spirit saturate your heart with the Word of God here. And just get into this as we take this very seriously, what Christ has commissioned us to do. Now, continuing with that thought, the Gospel of Mark tells us to preach the Gospel. That's how he addresses the Great Commission. Unlike the others, he actually says, go preach the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ saves. And isn't that good news this morning that Jesus saves the dirty, rotten sinners and makes us whole and gives us a new life? That's good news. And we're all in that boat of lostness. Every human being ever born except Jesus Christ himself was lost and dying and going to hell. And Jesus became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And I thank God for that. So Mark tells us to go preach the gospel. Now, in a nutshell, we find that gospel in the Gospel of Luke, as Luke expresses this great commission. Now, in verses 36 through 51 of Luke 24, we find this. Now, if we just focus on verses 44 through 51, we find a good outline for the content of this good news, the gospel. And if you're looking for a good outline of how to briefly witness to somebody, I think you'll find it here. And it'll be on your screen. But let me just say this. How many of you, or ask this question, how many of you have seen the commercial on TV where Franklin Graham is given or giving a short presentation of the gospel? Anybody seen that? Several of you have seen that. It is on television. I'm not sure on what channels. I know it's on one channel, but I'm not sure about the others. But he gives a brief presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's almost like very quickly, and you would think, well, what good did that do? Now, we talked even last Sunday down in the fellowship hall, a few of us at least, to Rachel about the presentation of the gospel in foreign countries and how it's better to have conversations or to do what is called relationship evangelism and how that tends to touch the hearts of people that we know over a period of time. But sometimes we don't have that time, do we? And sometimes we need to present the gospel to people who need to hear it in a short way. So we know that both of those ways work. We know that it's best if we can build a relationship with someone, yes. But there are times when we just have a little while. And I think Franklin Graham, although it was very quick, I think that he presents the gospel, puts a number on the screen and says, call that number. I know it's quick, but listen, it's just a way of at least getting the gospel out there over the airwaves. So if you're looking for an outline of how to present the gospel, I think in Luke's gospel, when he gives the rendition of Jesus' commission just before he ascended, we find him giving us the gospel. Let me just give it to you, and it'll be on your screen. You can write it down. First of all, he mentions, I won't go to that passage. You can if you want to. But in Luke 24, he gives us this outline. He mentions, in essence, not directly, but he refers to what we call condescension. That is the fact that Christ was prophesied to come and he came. He does mention the prophecy there. So Christ did come and he had to condescend to do that. To become a man, Jesus had to condescend. He had to empty himself of his divine privileges, not of his divinity. He never became less than God. He was always God. But he became one of us. So there's the condescension factor. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to us. And he became the Son of Man, fully God, fully man. He was the only legitimate sacrifice that could have been made on the cross of Calvary. Then there, of course, as Luke mentions, as Jesus is speaking, he's recording what Jesus said, there is the death of Christ. He was crucified on a cruel Roman cross, we know that, at the behest of screaming Jews of this ultimately innocent, righteous man, unjustly condemned, yet lovingly and sacrificially placing himself, and as the Father placed him, on that cross of Calvary. It was a great act of God, a great gift of God for an undeserving, wicked world. God unleashed, as I've said time and time before, his wrath on his only begotten Son for our redemption and for reconciliation to Almighty God, all in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, he was buried. There's a burial part. The borrowed tomb, Joseph of Arimathea, we know that, on Friday evening until Sunday morning. And that brings us to the resurrection. Early on that Sunday morning, Christ rose from the grave. His spirit had escaped his dead body and went to be with the Father in paradise. And that thief went with him, by the way. And he was there until that third day, until that Sunday morning, and his spirit returned to his body, and he rose in a glorified body, a body like what we'll receive one day from him. So there's a resurrection. And then, of course, there was the ascension. And that is mentioned there. We know that Luke wrote the gospel or the book of Acts, and the ascension is recorded there. But he also records it in his gospel, Luke's gospel. At the very end, he records how Jesus ascended. After 40 days on this earth, after his resurrection, Jesus went to be at the right hand of the Father in heaven with a promise to come get us one day. And then there's a last thing, and he mentions that too, Luke does, and that is what I would call the descension, the coming down of the Holy Spirit, the sending of the Holy Spirit, 10 days after the ascension. So 50 days after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell believers, and he establishes the church, and he entrusts the church with this gospel message. So therein, in a nutshell, is the gospel: condescension, death, buried or burial, resurrection, ascension, and descension. And we can, if we familiarize ourselves with the gospels enough, we can be able to obey the Great Commission and give that gospel to those who need it. I would say this morning that herein is a great part of our marching orders. Now underline that word, or those words, great part, because I purposefully said that, because it's not the only part of our marching orders. Now, gospel propagation is wonderful. What a task it is, and what a privilege it is to spread the good news and to plant the seed of the gospel. However, evangelization is not all. And here's our message today, hence our title, The Great Communication, because discipleship is essential. And we see that in Matthew's gospel again in verse 20 of chapter 28. Again, Jesus says, teaching them as they go into all nations and people are converted and they're baptized as a result of that. He says, teaching them who? The people who get saved, right? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we find this great part of the marching order in the Great Commission, but then we find something beyond the evangelization part, and that is the discipleship part of it. He uses two words there in the text. The word teaching, which is the Greek word didasko. Now, that simply means to instruct or to communicate with the intent of appropriation and application. When we teach the Word of God, when John teaches the Word of God, when Brian teaches the Word of God, when Nancy teaches the Word of God, when you ladies and gentlemen who are gifted to teach the Word of God, when I preach the Word of God, it is for the purpose of appropriation. We want everybody to take it in and to live it out, right? So we teach it. We give it iron sharpening iron. And we hope for application. But then he uses the word observe. That word is tereo in the Greek. And it means to do. It means to obey. It means to guard or to keep your eye on. Not only are we to learn these things as one would teach them, and the teacher's responsible as well, but we are to observe to do them. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, as James says in James 1:22. Deceiving our own selves. We do deceive ourselves if we just hear the word. We've got to do the word. We've got to live the word out. We've got to do what God commands us to do. So evangelization is one thing, and we should evangelize all the nations, and then we should disciple the holy nation. Because when you become a born-again child of God, when you're converted, you become part of that holy nation that Peter speaks of. And you therefore have this great commission that is given to you as Jesus ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, empowering us to be able to carry it out, to follow through. But part of that, and part of that scene there, and part of those marching orders is not just a commission, but it's a great communication. You need, the body of Christ needs to communicate the Word of God to one another, as we're commanded to do, so that we, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, so that we may grow thereby. He says, desire the sincere milk of the word so that you may grow thereby in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2. You see, we know that in Hebrews 5 and other places, we're told that we can get to the meat, but we've got to start with the milk. And we, as a human being, as a baby, would progress from milk to meat. So are we to do spiritually. We're to progress from the milk of the Word of God to the meat of the Word of God, which builds our discernment and makes us understand God's will more and more as we grow in grace. So we are to observe to do everything that Jesus commanded. And we then can evangelize. As disciples are growing in Christ, they're better equipped as a holy nation to be that holy nation and to witness the gospel in other nations. You see, the holy nation that we're talking about, the body of Christ, through discipleship becomes practically more holy and more righteous. We know that we're positionally holy before God because He saved us. But we are to strive to be more and more holy. God says, be holy as I'm holy. That's a responsibility that we have to strive to be more holy and more righteous, practically speaking. So that's what we're told to do. Now, we're in the midst, as we think about not only just the Great Commission, but also the Great Communication. We're told to disciple one another in the body of Christ. We know that we today are in the midst of a lot. Amen? Amen. And we've gone from pandemic to anarchy, really. And I've said that several times now because it's so important to continue to understand what we're in the midst of. As I said last week, we've gone from ailment to anarchy. It's exactly the trek that we've been on. We're in unprecedented times, as we've said before. At least for the last several decades, I don't think we've ever been in this particular situation where disease has absolutely altered our nation, and that's putting it lightly. And destructive spirit from hell is ravaging our nation. And to be on board with all that is going on and all that comes down the pike from the world is a mistake at best. No, it's a sin. That's what it is. It's a sin to be a part of any agenda or mentality that is antithetical to God's word. Amen. And so the church must lovingly stand against it and say, we do not stand with what the world is saying. The world says riot. The world says go protest. The world says get out there and let your voice be heard. There's nothing wrong with letting your voice be heard, but it's what you're saying that makes the difference. And the church should be the loudest voice of all. Amen. And the message that we have to give to the world out there is not Black Lives Matter. It's not anything else. It is you need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not worried about all this stuff. We just want you to be saved, because when you're saved and delivered, you come into the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, and your mind changes and you're no longer of the world. And if the world has influenced you, then divorce yourself from the world and come into the kingdom of God and say, God, I want to serve you faithfully and not be a part of the system of the world. The world too much has entered into the church and has poisoned the church, the visible church. And God is calling for a pure church to emerge from all of this rubble and all of this rubbish. Now that was free. That was free. Wasn't in the script, but there it is. So we've gone from that pandemic to anarchy. And as we re-grasp who we are as a holy nation, we know that we have a great commission, yes, and we also have a great communication responsibility. Listen to this. It's a charge to go, but first a charge to grow. A charge to go, yes, but a charge to grow. A nation with an agenda from heaven, including evangelization and discipleship. That is who we are. And I'm emphasizing today the discipleship part of it, because we've emphasized the Great Commission part of it. We know that we're a holy nation with this Great Commission, but we're also a holy nation with this great communication that we've been entrusted with, the Word of God, rightly handling the Word of truth. That's what we should be about, so that the body of Christ can grow. Listen to this. How? Here's where the rubber meets the road. How can we send missionaries? And we are missionaries, and we send missionaries. How can we send? And I've had conversation with Hannah about this, and she, from an IMB missionary perspective, agrees with this. She sees this. She's helped me understand this from that perspective. Something's missing there. Not enough emphasis put on discipleship. Missionaries aren't just cut loose. You don't have to study the Bible anymore. Just go out there and tell them that Jesus loves them and He died for them, that He rose from the grave, and everything will be good. No, they have to continuously stay in the Word of God. They can't be the missionaries they're commissioned to be without it. So how in the world can we send missionaries, and how in the world can they go without proper discipleship? Growing spiritually is essential in the body of Christ. Somebody say amen. Listen to this. Numerical growth is desired. Spiritual growth is required. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When we go to preach the gospel, I mentioned this just a moment ago. When we go to preach, teach, or share the gospel with Jesus Christ with a lost world, when we are being a light in darkness, our desire is for the people who hear the gospel who don't know Jesus Christ. It is for them to become a born-again child of God, right? Have we ever gone out saying, I hope nobody gets saved tonight?
or I really just don't want to see them know Jesus. You know, that wouldn't be the right attitude, would it? It's not a godly attitude. Our attitude, now God knows what he's going to do, and it takes God to do it. But for us, as those who don't know, who just are obeying the gospel and the Great Commission, we go out with the hope and the prayer that somebody's going to get saved from our sharing. That somebody gets saved as a result of hearing the gospel message, whether it's on Sunday morning or maybe during the week when you're sharing it as the people of God. When you're telling other people about Jesus Christ. When you're sharing it among your friends. Sometimes church members need to hear it. Do they not? A lot of times church members need to hear it. Because they're not where they should be. But you see, we desire for God to do something. So numerical growth, that is people getting saved, that's desired. But spiritual growth, it's required. In other words, when you get into the body of Christ, God says, hey, you're just starting. Now it's time for some ongoing discipleship until God takes you home. Regardless of how long or short that is, discipleship. Hence we have this great communication that we're talking about, that Jesus includes in that commission that sometimes we often overlook, especially as Southern Baptists. There's not enough emphasis put on sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine, listen to this, is the basis from which to go. And it's the launching pad for missionaries. That's what it is. It's a launching pad for those to be sent into places like Paris, France, and London, England, and Edinburgh, Scotland, and China, and India, and Africa, and South America, and Mexico, and Canada, and the United States. It's the launching pad from which we send these missionaries. Sound doctrine is where it's at. And we need to get back to that and understand that we're missing that and that we need to understand that it's part of what Jesus commanded and the agenda that he gave the church before he ascended to the Father. So with that in mind, with this discipleship mentality in mind, discipleship being the launching pad for missionaries and them staying good disciples and getting back to where we need to be. With that in mind, I want you to just simply watch this.
All in, gentlemen. Lunch is over. We're going back to training. Back to daggone training. A stain, Vaughn? A ketchup stain? How dare you disrespect me, your country, and your mama?
I guess the guy just wants to bring his lunch with him.
Vaughn wants to be a french fry.
Do you have something to say about the stain, Vaughn?
Sir, what stain, sir?
Vaughn, that. Oh, but they do send me a daggone Houdini.
Tide to go. It's Tide to the rescue.
Oh, wow. And those pens do work pretty good. I've used them before. But I showed you that, and seriously, that's probably one of my favorite commercials. I love that. I know Jared would probably like that, Mary and Adam, probably like that a lot. But you know, I just want to say based on that, as just a little visual for you this morning, I want to say the same thing. Lunch is over. Lunch is over. And it's time to get back to training. Not to daggone training, but to discipleship training. Now, I'm not talking about a program on Sunday nights that Southern Baptists have. Matter of fact, we've not been able to have it for a long time. And most Baptist churches don't have it at all. But it was at one time, and we called it Baptist training and training union and discipleship training, you know. I'm not talking about that program. That's a good program. I'm talking about getting real with God. That kind of discipleship training. It's not just that we say, oh, we give our money and we're part of a church that's part of the Southern Baptist Convention and we have the greatest mission organizations ever. And so we send them everywhere and that's it. Those missionaries need discipling and the people of God back at home do too. Because we're all missionaries. But we can't be good missionaries and we can't send out good missionaries without this element of discipleship. So in the middle of this crisis, or whatever we're in the middle of, and listen, folks, crisis doesn't determine whether or not we do what we're supposed to do and that we are being what we're supposed to be. That doesn't have anything to do with it. We are obligated regardless. So as we think about discipleship this morning, in the middle of this crisis, and even when it's over, if it ever ends, we just need to realize, as the Old Testament says, we do not need to be any longer at ease in Zion. Anybody ever heard that before? Raise your hand. Hey, at ease in Zion. That means they just kind of relax. Oh, we're good to go, man. Hey, we're good to go. We can just sit back and just wait it out, you know. Oh, we're going to heaven. We got our ticket. Yeah. And so we're going to heaven one day, and we're just going to enjoy life. Hope nothing bad happens. Now think about that. Isn't that kind of the way things go sometimes in our hearts and minds? Kind of at ease in Zion, resting, the sleeping church, you know, just there, not really active. There's a lot of action going on out there, folks. Activists left and right, preaching their agendas, holding up their signs, and the church is like, huh? Sometimes. I'm not saying every local church is, but there's an issue here. And we rest too much. We lay down too much. God's not called us to that. He's called us to be active and obedient. He's called us to obey the Great Commission and the Great Communication. We have a job to do. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. We're commissioned by Him. We're commanded by Him to move forward. So I would say to you, let's grow and let's go. But we've got to grow before we go, but let's do both. Let's obey the Great Communication in order to do the Great Commission. Let's become a nation in a nation, truly, preparing by the Word of God and publishing God's Word as His representatives. That's what it's all about. Now, I just have felt the urge to and the need to harp on this for just a while. And so I have. I'm not saying we'll not move back into our series of messages and all those things, but I've just felt this urge. Because you see, I think sometimes we take this time of being down as a time to just kind of rest even more, go into a deeper sleep. And God said, no, you've got to wake up more and get on those front lines and do everything that God's called us to do. Let's become that nation within a nation. You might be here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, I shared the gospel just a moment ago about how He came and how He died and how He was put in a grave and how He rose. But I want to just share it one more time with you that you as a person, regardless of how you're listening today, either on Facebook later or if you're here today, and your relationship with God is non-existent because you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, then I would say today, look to Him, place your trust in Him, believe His Word, believe that He came for you, died for you, rose again from the grave, or rose from the grave, and He lives forevermore, and call upon Him to save you today. And if you do that, then I want to hear about it. I want you to call me. I want you to come see me after church or sometime and say, Pastor Steve, God changed me today. God saved me today. Because we want you to follow up in believer's baptism and be a vital part of this church. But you, as a Christian today, also may feel the challenge as a soldier of the cross to totally be sold out to God. So I challenge you as a church today in the very same way to understand that we are a nation in a nation that has a great commission and a great communication that we need to pay serious attention to. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is just starting. And it's time for the church to be the church. Father, we love You. We praise You. We ask You to take this word, plant it deep within the hearts of those who heard it, and I pray that, God, You would bring great things from it. And we'll give You the praise In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Love you so very much. I will be doing some prep on Wednesday. I won't be here Wednesday, but Brother Denton's going to fill in, and I'm going to tell you, he'll probably do a whole lot better than what I could ever think because he's a gifted man of God, and I appreciate him. And then I'll be gone next Sunday. We're going on a vacation. Kim will probably not be able to preach because he's pretty sick, and we've already looking at maybe getting someone else to do that. So I'm in the process of that. But I think the person, if it works out, that you'll hear, you'll really like a lot and be blessed by him being here. Anyway, and then David will fill in for me that Wednesday. So y'all just behave while I'm gone, okay? While the cat's away, Kay, the mice will play, won't they? We'll try. You what? To behave or misbehave? Try to behave, right. Now, Carol Ann can't help it. She's not here. If we can pick on her, right? She just misbehaves all the time. We love her. We pray for her, too. She's not doing too well. So, hey, listen, guys. Love you so much. See you soon. Y'all pray for us. And anything else before we go? All right. Brother Tommy Queen, will you dismiss us in prayer?